administration issues to deal with. Are there any apologies apart from the two or three councillors that are still in the Smyco room? Thank you.
I went through.
There's no leave of absence that's been applied for. The appropriate staff are in attendance. Confirmation of the agenda. What I suggest is that when we reconvene at the conclusion of the policy committee, that we deal with the Lower Waitaki Plains aquifer paper then. So I will move that that is the first item we deal with when we reconvene. I'll move, seconded by Councillor Hope. Any discussion? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Conflict of interest, there's your opportunity. It's just the same standard reminder there for everybody. And we'll move to the public forum. So welcome, team. As I say, we know all who you are. We know you all. So we're in your hands. You have 5 minutes. We want you to make the most of that 5 minutes. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Yeah. Make the most of that 5 minutes, and there may be some questions for clarification as well from councillors. Thank you.
Need to turn this on?
No, it's voice.
You just need to lift voice, your voice.
Yeah. Voice activator. You need to lean towards it.
So obviously we've received the copy of the Lower Waitaki Plains Aquifer Report. We're very grateful to receive it a little bit in advance of the agenda being released and have done our best to review it. It would be fair to say that our own technical people haven't had, you know, a chance to really review it comprehensively. It was quite a significant document. So the comments that we're providing today are preliminary, but we thought it important to come along and talk to you further about it. So this is, I suppose, really a follow-on from the discussions that we had with you at the last council meeting. And the things I think that we really wanted to highlight were in relation to the issues that are identified in the report, particularly nitrate levels and E. coli levels, and how that dovetails with the policy response that has been indicated by the council so far. So what the report tells us is that nitrate levels within the aquifer increase as you move downhill, essentially. And there's a suggestion in the report, and I think it's on page Romans 1, so in the overview, that there is a significant impact of land use activities on water quality. And I think, you know, we'd agree that there is definitely increasing levels of concentration as you move down the aquifer, and that that is likely to be a consequence of the land use activities that are taking place in the area. What the report doesn't do, and that we think it is critical that we all understand, is what the actual environmental consequence of that increasing nitrogen level is as you move down the aquifer. Now, so far as we know, there are no significant surface water bodies that are being adversely affected by this groundwater. From a nitrate perspective, drinking water quality is not being adversely affected. It is still perfectly safe to drink. The E. coli issue, which is an issue from a drinking water perspective, will not be addressed through the existing Plan Change 6A framework. So if nothing is done through the regulatory framework and you simply rely on the existing Plan Change 6A rules, there are basically no controls that will have an impact on the E. coli levels within the aquifer. The nitrogen rules, as we explained to you at the last council meeting, potentially will actually result in concentration levels within the aquifer increasing. So what we want to reiterate for today is the importance of, I suppose, our view, and I think it aligns with what the council's trying to achieve, is that we don't want water quality within this aquifer to decline. And what we are trying to achieve is a regulatory framework for this catchment that achieves that outcome. And I think, you know, if you understand how Plan Change 6A works and the things that it controls, it is very clear that existing framework isn't going to do that effectively in this catchment. And that is why we had been working so closely with the council staff on the basis of the Memorandum of Understanding to try and develop a framework that will more directly address the issues that are in this aquifer. And so, you know, we're wanting to, implore you to reinitiate that work with us and to work with us to develop a framework that is going to more directly deal with water quality in this aquifer. The couple of just things I think that it's important to pull out of the report is just how we analyse the data. Now, I think in possibly the summary that was attached to the report, it talks over on the second page in discussion of nitrate concentrations about there not being a long enough time series for analysing trends in this aquifer, and that there was a trend when you look at the data between 2011 and 2015 which declines, and then an increasing trend between 2016 and 2018. Now, we know in this aquifer that our residence times are in the order of 7 years, so we've got to be really, really careful about slicing and dicing data like that. If you look at the time series data, so particularly from about 2005 through to now, there is no trend. Nitrogen levels in the aquifer have remained very static. And, you know, that is post the intensification of land use that happened sort of through 1997 to 2000. So I want you to be careful when you're reading this report and you're looking at, we declined between 2011 to 2015 and it appears to have increased again 16 to 18. You're not comparing the same thing there, nor does it provide you any insight into what was happening from a climate perspective during those years. So particularly in 2017, for example, we had some significant flooding events which inevitably result in spikes in nitrogen and groundwater, because those rain events force that nitrogen through the soil profile and into ground. So we have some concerns about, as I say, the way some of this data has been sliced and diced in the report, and that it doesn't align well with what we understand about the way that this aquifer works. And then I think fundamentally what the consequences of the conclusion in this report are from an environmental perspective. So are there actually adverse environmental outcomes as a result of the information that we understand about the aquifer? Probably last comment, I think, unless there's anything else the rest of the team would like to raise, is the absence of discussions around potential sources of the fecal coliforms, and as we all know, the latest analysis was unable to provide us with information about the source of that. And I think my understanding is that it's going to be really, really challenging to do that DNA data, because you actually need very high levels of fecal coliforms for that test to work, sort of in the order of 400 CFUs, and we've never seen a spike that high in this catchment. There are other tests that can be done that will give us some insight, and those are referred to in the report. And so I think, you know, perhaps we should be talking about the potential to do those other types of analysis work to give us further insight into the source of that E. coli. But again, I think just to reiterate the point that under Plan Change 6A, E. coli is not going to be directly addressed. The only thing that Plan Change 6A has really addressed are those gross point source discharges, so over-allocation of effluent to saturated ground and so on. And as you will all know, the irrigation company has been working closely with the council through the development of farm environmental management plans to make sure that those things are not happening. So there will need to be other measures adopted to address E. coli issues if they persist, and that may also include looking at other things like the septic tanks and so on that exist in the area, which are currently not directly addressed through the framework.
Thank you very much, Bridget. Elizabeth, Fletcher and John, anything to add? Comfortable? I'll just check with councillors. Any questions for clarification? Councillor Scott.
Yeah, look, the report, you know, in relation to nitrogen, I suspect says some reasonable things. In relation to E. coli, I mean, what it says is recurrent fecal contamination events with E. coli concentrations above the New Zealand drinking water standards have been detected over the past 20 years. And on the face of it, I'm thinking, that's not good. You're suggesting that our 6A or whatever framework, regulatory framework, that via that this won't be addressed. I mean, that's news to me. E. coli contamination above certain limits, I would have thought would be quite clear in our water plan.
Well, this is because you're dealing with a groundwater catchment, and there are no standards in Plan Change 6A that address groundwater quality. And so that's what the discussions we were having with council staff was about, including into Schedule 15 the water quality limits for groundwater, because at the moment there aren't any. So you certainly have them in relation to surface water bodies in the region, but we do not have them for groundwater bodies. So what we're relying on at the moment are the drinking water standards, and as I think I've acknowledged, that in terms of what this aquifer looks like and the testing that's being done, there are certainly issues in complying with drinking water standards as it relates to E. coli.
Yeah.
But Plan Change 6A doesn't do anything about that.
Okay, well, you know, I have to take some advice on that, but it seems to me what this council's all about and what the community's all about is achieving good water, whether it's surface water, groundwater, whatever it is. And I suspect if it lands up in the groundwater, it's probably had come from the surface water to actually get there. So, you know, in terms of the OSC processes, maybe we need to re-examine those situations. But the big picture is, I think we've still got a problem, and we're going to have to do about it, something about it, and so are you.
Well, and I agree. And that's what we had been working with your staff. And then the council advised that actually they weren't going to continue to pursue the plan change that would have facilitated us dealing with this in conjunction with the council. And that is the thing that we have been trying to wind back.
Thank you.
So, Bridget, is it fair to say the report that underpins the paper we're going to discuss later, your overall comment is very much those are the adverse effects being, I suppose, considered. At the moment, you would suggest in that report it's very science-based, which is probably fair enough because
that's
what we do. That's what we do. But, that's your point, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think the report, we don't, like I said, we haven't, our experts have not been able to really analyse this in detail because we've only had it for a few days. To the extent that they have, they don't identify any significant shortcomings in the work that's been done. The piece of the puzzle, I think, that is missing and that this report doesn't go into, we now understand, I think, with a reasonable degree of certainty, what the water quality is like in the groundwater. But what does that mean? What does that mean from an environmental point of view? Are there surface water bodies that are being adversely affected by that concentration within the groundwater? From a nitrogen perspective, we know it's not an issue for drinking water, but we do have an issue that needs to be addressed around E. coli. So, you know, that's, I think, the next phase of the work that needs to be done is understanding the environmental consequences of the conclusions in this report, because I think that will help inform the policy response that is required.
Thank you. Any other questions for clarification? Councillor Deacon.
I hear you say that you're developing your own regulatory framework.
No. So up until the last, or the previous council meeting that we attended, the irrigation company had been working alongside the council's policy team to develop a plan change to Plan Change 6A to address the issue. So that's the regulatory framework that we're talking about.
Right.
Okay. So we haven't done our own work beyond that collaborative work that had been going on up until recently.
Okay, that concludes your presentation. Thank you very much. And I know three of your team have travelled quite a distance to be with us today. And as I said to you before the meeting started, there'll be a delay before the technical committee will reopen, and then we will deal with the report first up. So thank you very much on behalf of everyone. Enjoy the rest of your day. Cheers.
Thank you.